This is Radioactive Magazine, the KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. I'm your host, Pat Reilly. And this evening, I have Tiffany Buckley with me as my guest. She is the president of Volunteer Kansas City, Volunteer KC. Volunteer KC helps support nonprofits and homeless outreach groups with volunteers and donations here in the metropolitan area. Tiffany, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me this evening.
Thank you, Pat, for having me.
Appreciate your time. A couple of weeks ago, I was a little fundraiser with the organization out at Crane Brewery in Raytown. A great turnout. I met a lot of folks, and there was a lot of big interest, and I hope some funds raised for the operation. How did it go?
It was amazing. Considering COVID's been squashing, fundraising, this is our first event that we got to have and celebrate our volunteers and help raise awareness. We had great turnout, and thank you for coming. That was awesome. very excited. Crane reached out. They wanted to help, and I was all for it. Let's go. Let's do this. And they ended up making their own brew for us, and we collected a few $100 in donations from proceeds off the sale of the beer that night. It got a few people interested in volunteering, and just had a good time all around, being able to socialize with our fellow volunteers in a fun environment while we're not volunteering. It was cool. It was unique.
It was, and there was some pretty tasty brew, I might add.
Oh, it was yummy.
Well, let's talk about the volunteers then. I know that this particular time of the year, any time of the year really, it's tough to recruit volunteers for all the programs that are out there. How do you do that? What's your plan of attack?
Oh boy. So there's no secret recipe that I've found. I do know that person-to-person contact, word-of-mouth referral, that, you bring a friend to an event and that friend starts getting interested. We do have a CRM where folks can sign up to volunteer on our website, and it starts a profile in our system, so then we gather their information that way and reach out individually every time someone signs up, keeping that, building that relationship with individuals, instead of being a cold interface directing you. So I don't have a problem with recruiting people. I think our group we're fun and we like to work hard. And, the second you start volunteering with us, and you're just like hooked. So I don't know. I feel like we've kind of changed the culture in volunteering.
Are you finding anybody, a particular age group that stands out as far as the volunteers, or are we catching a wide spectrum of folks and ages?
Initially, we are ranging between 18 and, I would say, 50, which is, in my experience from volunteering, an age group that I don't see very often. I see a lot of, youth. I see a lot of religious folks, a lot of retired individuals, but not a lot of working-aged folks. It's expanding a little bit as organizations reach out to me. For-profit organizations reach out to me through the email, and we'll connect them to a nonprofit here and there. And that will range from, we've had a youth group of soccer kids. We've had groups for, a business who wants to volunteer together. So it's becoming more varied.
And how do the organizations themselves that you try and work with, how do they contact you? Do they go through like a Nonprofit Connect, who's one of the organizations here in Kansas City, or how do they reach you?
Usually it is just word of mouth. I've volunteered around the city in various places and made connections with individuals, and they will reach out to me via text or email or Facebook often and just say, hey, Tiffany, we've got this thing going on. Do you have any people? And, we're going to be 3 years old in April. So we're pretty young, and we can't staff everything all the time, but I'm trying. We are trying. And hopefully one day we will be the go-to volunteer recruitment staffing agency.
Are there any other organizations besides you in Kansas City that try to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish? Or are you basically the leader of the pack, as it were, right now?
I don't know. I haven't necessarily. Leader of the pack is an interesting term. I know that you can find volunteer opportunities through United Way's website, through Nonprofit Connect, and every nonprofit has their own volunteer location on their website, and coordinator / manager.
But no real central organization point like Volunteer KC.
I had heard of Serve KC, but I'm not directly familiar with them, and I've heard that since COVID has started, they haven't necessarily been active, which is totally understandable, but I feel like we are probably one of the more active directly volunteer, centered organization, and we are a 100% volunteer-driven organization, too.
Approximately how many volunteers do you have in your particular organization?
We've had over 100 this year volunteer with us on site with our events, and then we have partnered with the Sewing Labs for one of our programs. So they have an army of sewists who have helped sew, basically just sewn our bags. You know, they didn't help, they did it. They would send home kits of these bags of just canvas, and then folks would go through the instructions at home and sew them up, and then we would distribute them to the homeless on the streets. So they've helped a lot. I don't know how many volunteers they had, but they had about 2,000 hours in sewing, so quite the team.
The bags. Now, what are the bags? Mm-hmm.
So the Kansas City Navigation Bag is a canvas tote that fits over your shoulder. It's pretty similar to what you would see in the store, but this one has a map on front of Kansas City, ranging from downtown to the Plaza area, a little South KC, and it has homeless emergency resources located on it, plotted. And on the opposite side is a list of the resources. And they have their hours and, you know, what they provide. And it ranges from medical to shelter to, you know, where do I get a shower? How can I get my identification? What nonprofit has a mailbox? Hope Faith Homeless Assistance Campus has a mailbox that people can have. So there are various solutions, you know, scattered across the city, which is another conversation. but the bag aims to help connect people with resources and a way to get there. I was homeless in 2016, and one of the greatest challenges I found when I was on the street was navigating. I knew where I was, and I was kind of familiar with the area, but I didn't know all of the resources available to me. I had to get, you know, I had to do the hard stuff and walk to all these places and ask the questions and, you know, spend a couple dollars on a thrift store bag and then spend a couple dollars on a notepad, you know, and $5 is a lot of money when you have no money. So marrying the idea of a map, because, you know, a lot of people don't have internet on the phone and a map, marrying the map with the resources in a bag so you can put your things in it, especially if you just get released from jail like I had and had nothing, is a very invaluable resource for folks on the street.
I'll bet. And how many bags did you say are out there right now? Did you say they made about 800 or so last year?
800 total since the beginning of production. We started really small with 100 bags in 2018. It boosted it up a couple hundred more the following year, and this year we've done 500. And I hope that we can make about 1,000 bags next year to saturate the streets. Before we move on to Wyandotte County for KCK, and then circulate, go around, find some, you know, Independence, Raytown, South Kansas City, North Kansas City, and just try to connect the dots for folks on the streets.
Well, let's talk about the homeless here for just a second, the houseless. I'm familiar with that. I did a program just about a year ago with my daughter, Janessa, who was really involved with the Houseless Project and the program that they were doing at Bartle Hall over the winter last year. It's an issue, and like I said, it's in every community. I encounter the folks in Raytown. I encounter them in Lee's Summit. I encounter them in Kansas City. They're fortunate right now in that the weather has stayed fairly decent up until now. One of the things that I noticed on the Volunteer KC website was a big map of the United States, and you could click on a particular state, and it would list services and programs available to folks, not only whether it be homeless shelters, medical assistance, hotlines available to them. Quite a put together. How did Volunteer KC get involved with that particular website that gives everybody or gives folks an opportunity to explore resources for them out there?
Honestly, as I was building the website, I was just doing my research and finding things that I thought maybe people would find valuable on the internet. And if we dig a little bit more, we can find the answers.
Well, I would imagine that was pretty time consuming in putting that whole thing together.
Oh, I mean, I would say this whole entire organization has been very time consuming. It's everything I think about when I wake up and when I go to sleep at night, but it's a good time consumption. It's all, you know, investing that into everything else. It's doing the good fight, you know?
Are you finding, and again, touching on the houseless / homeless projects out there, are you finding, I know after last winter and then in the spring and everything, they broke up some of the camps and were trying to get folks into hotels, and the hotel initiative kind of collapsed a little bit, and it was back in front of the city council here a couple of months ago with the pallet houses and some things like that. Are we starting to see, or are you starting to see a little more action being taken to address that situation here in Kansas City in the metropolitan area?
I'll start with saying that I just resigned from the board of directors for the Greater Kansas City Coalition and Homelessness because I wasn't seeing action, because I felt like no one was taking this topic seriously. They're more focused on the coordinated entry, which deals with a very, you know, a less than half of the population out there, because not everybody ends up in those housing programs. Not to mention some other things going on, but to be that plugged in, being on the board and plugged into the politics, plugged into the city, plugged into all the outreach groups, it was overwhelming to see the disconnection between everybody. And there's a lot of pride, there's a lot of ego being thrown around, and there's so much money out there available, and some of it's not being used appropriately, and some of it's just being thrown around. And the people I believe that our current administration right now in Kansas City is not capable of empathizing with these folks who are on the street, and they're more empathetic towards their voters, and they're not interested in educating their voters. They're interested in just representing them. So it's not a one-way street, in my opinion. So I had to remove myself, but since then, I feel like, you know, Janessa's part of that movement. I feel like there has been some type of agreement. As the winter months come in, people are realizing that there need to be solutions, and not just talk, and not just money approved for things, but there needs to be tangible solutions.
One of the things that I've heard from some folks that are involved with the process, like you and Janessa, is it seems that there's folks that haven't walked in the shoes. And that might be part of the issue. There's one thing about paper pushing. There's another thing about being on the street and interacting with the folks that are having the problems and are going through what they're going through.
1,000%. Ask me how many homeless experienced people were on the board of directors for the Homeless Coalition.
How many? Zip.
Just myself. Just me.
Yeah.
I was the only one.
And now zip.
And that was their bylaw requirement. That's their minimum bylaw requirement, is that they have one homeless experienced person on the board. And guess how many times anybody asked me for my opinion on things? Basically zero. So I felt like I was just checking a box. And that's the problem, is people are looking at doing the bare minimum, which isn't helping anybody. And I don't think that they're comfortable enough with themselves to actually get out there and do the work. There are a handful of people on the board that I believe are very invested in our community, and they are leaders in their own right. But people with experience need to have more of a voice, people who have been there and done that, and people who are currently fighting through it, because they need to be represented, not just pitied, and not just thought, oh, poor thing, while I tuck myself in at night in my nice warm house.
I can understand that.
Sorry if I get a little passionate.
No, that's what, you know, without passion, nothing happens. You know, we talked a little bit earlier before, you know, before we went to this interview about what many of us see going on out there, in the, not necessarily the sympathies that we have, because we do have the empathy as well as the sympathy. But you said we have talked earlier about the volunteers going up to the age of 50 now, and you know, it is apparent to many out there the issues that are facing all of the folks, whether they be houseless, whether it be I could go on and pontificate, but this is not about this is not about me. getting back to some of the programs and services that Volunteer Kansas City tries to hook folks up with. You know, I know one of the things that's really tough on the streets is medical help for the folks that are out there. And there was a nice little list of folks, and one of the ones that I had interviewed here a while back was Rediscover Mental Health.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, there is a probably 40 to 50% of the folks that are houseless suffer from some sort of mental problem.
Yes. And I definitely mark me as one of those people. I think that I'm not a huge fan of the Housing First policy that the government likes to enforce. It's kind of like No Child Left Behind. You know, let's just kind of cast them in a home and evaluate them along the way and overload all of our case managers. But that's okay. That's why people fall through the cracks, and that's why we got to fill them.
And what types of services are, you know, these, the resources that you have access to, how do you stop those people from falling through the cracks? How do we do that?
That's the catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah.
If we knew how to do it, we would do it. I have all the faith in the world that if we had a solution, there wouldn't be so much negativity towards it. I think people are, you know, directing their anger, you know, they're misguided. You see hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars being pumped into organizations to support these programs when you could be building housing. So that's how black and white it is to me. Yeah. I don't know what the true solution is. If you gave me $10 million, we could probably figure it out.
Well, you know, I know that one of the things that they were going to try was the pallet houses. But, again, it's a situation with the pallet houses where it's not going to come close to meeting the needs of the folks that are out there that, you know, need these resources.
Yeah, but the pallet shelters are meeting a need, and it is to shield people from the elements. And that is a very, very basic need. I would say that people need food and water above all else. And then once those needs are met, then shelter, you know, the shelter they're currently using is they're fabricating themselves using things that, you know, won't hold up to the winter weather. And I think the pallet shelters are, you know, a nice little step up for dignity. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have plumbing, and it doesn't have a basement, and it's something. It's helping people.
Gets them out of the elements, at least.
100%. And you know what? I mean, if you save a life, it's worth it.
True.
I don't know how many lives it has to be, you know, tallied, but
well, one of the
I don't think anybody should die before we start it.
Agreed. And unfortunately, last year we did lose quite a few to the elements out there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about meals, water, and things like that that need to get out there to these folks. I noticed that one of the resources that you had listed on the website was Concerned Free Meals and Hope Faith, if they're still involved, Morning Glory. Metro Lutheran Ministries, Thelma's Kitchen, are those still facilities or resources available to the folks out there? You know?
Morning Glory, I'm not as sure, but Hope Faith is still going. MLM is still going. Thelma's Kitchen is still going. MLM has sack lunches throughout the week, and they sponsor Saturday morning breakfast with True Light. No, not True.
That sounds right.
Yeah, True Light down the street. That's right. And Thelma's has switched their cafe model to a walk-up window where you can donate what you can to get a box meal. But, I have full faith that we have enough resources for food in Kansas City. It is the access that is the problem. It is the knowledge of those resources that is the problem, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I think that we can feed everybody already. We have enough money. We have enough programs. We have enough food.
Is hot soup still active, too?
Free Hot Soup is mega active. I would say that Free Hot Soup is more active with the homeless community than any organization in the metro, period. They have a better relationship with everyone. They know people. They know where people are. I think Free Hot Soupers are superheroes.
And I also saw where, do you still have the, was it Dough Panera?
Panera, are they still assisting? Panera, for us, we pick up Panera, and today I just delivered some Panera bread to Neighbor, which is a nonprofit located at 3551 Wabash, right off 36 and Prospect, and they serve homeless folks and people in need, mostly focusing on drug rehab and references. Pastor Parr is the executive director there, Pastor Greg, and he is amazing. So we take some bread and milk over there every week, and we have two Panera pickups every week. There's so many Paneras around the metro and bread being thrown out just because that's the policy, and there are not enough people to pick it up, to be honest. And so Panera is just amazing by letting us save that from the waste and then give it to people who need it. We love that program. We've done a couple, I think we've done 2 tons of Panera in the past couple years.
For Panera, let's expand that. Do you get any help from say some of the grocery stores in those types of facilities here in Kansas City as, you know, some of their produce and whatever starts to get closer to out of date? Do they contribute any, or is that an area that could be tapped with the right introductions and things?
Well, I know. Have you heard of Canby's Markets? KNDE.
Yes, I have.
Canby's. I think Canby's is the leader in redistributing donated food. You know how you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but if we had drivers, more space, more money, we could look into saving more food, but our main focus is elsewhere.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, I just don't want to spread. I see all these nonprofits and some people, they have so many programs and, you know, right. Shoestring budget. I don't want to collapse us.
Yeah, understandable. You don't want to take on too much so you're spread too thin in the things that you do well.
Correct. Yes.
Well, now, speaking of that, you just touched on something that at this time of the year is very important to many nonprofits, and that is people, time, and money.
How can folks
get a hold of and get into, you know, the system and say, hey, I'm available to do this. I can help, you know, either whether it be you or the other nonprofit organizations that you work with. How do they do that?
Well, if folks are interested in volunteering, they can absolutely get on our website, volunteerkc.com. Click around. We've got a calendar. We have a volunteer page where you can sign up, and it creates a profile in our system. I'll reach out to you, or Stephanie or Heather will reach out to them, and we'll connect them with volunteer opportunities, see what their availability is. We also have a donate button on the website if you are so inclined. We are a 100% volunteer-driven organization. I make no money. Nobody makes any money. It is all out of the kindness of our hearts. So your money is going to go directly into other people via food in their belly, Christmas gifts. We adopted a family from a a transitional housing facility to bless them with some gifts this, you know, holiday season. So all those funds will go directly back into the community, 100%. The volunteering, we do various things across the metro, from Habitat for Humanity to working in a nature park in Independence to child care to pantry work or serving food. Anything you've had any interest in or wanted to dabble in, we've got it.
Super. Real quickly, the calendar. What you have coming up here over the course of the next couple of weeks before we hit the first of the year? I had a chance to look at it briefly the other day. I saw there was something coming up. What, next week with River? Was it River of Refuge or
this Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah. This Thursday is our volunteer event. We do third Thursdays at River of Refuge, the transitional housing facility for families. Mm-hmm. They are all inclusive, even single dads are welcome to live there as they, you know, their case managers help them get back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
We are there from 6 to 8 p.m. helping organize their clothing closet. Saturday morning, we're going to be at Hope Faith Homeless Assistance Campus with their Christmas party celebration between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. They're doing some games and cookie decorations, and they serve breakfast and lunch. And then the next one we have is Monday from 6 to 8 at Lotus Care House, which is a brand new nonprofit navigation center for the homeless. Love that place. So can't wait to get over there. Not sure what we're doing yet, but last time we painted and it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, folks, there's some doggone good ideas for you there. Some things going on that that you can get involved in here. All good things for sure. Well, unfortunately, Tiffany, I got to get ready to wrap it up for the evening, but I do very much appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this evening about the program and what's going on and what we can do to help. And
I appreciate you.
Can you give us the website again real quick so folks will jot it down and they know where to go?
Yes, 100%. VolunteerKC.com. And we're also on Instagram, Volunteer Kansas City, and on Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, Tiffany, again, thank you very much for your time. Best of everything. And I hope to see it one or two of the programs here coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. That's awesome.
You have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. It's Chef Pat, a volunteer programmer here at KKFI. KKFI has a unique opportunity right now to amp up for the future and secure access to our tower forever and remove over $21,000 in rent that we pay every year by purchasing an easement, which is a restriction placed on the property where our tower sits that gives KKFI permanent access for repairs and upgrades no matter who owns the land. So here it comes. The current owner has given us until March 31st, 2022 to come up with the money. We are asking for your support to raise the $350,000 it will take to cover the costs. We know that's a lot, but the first $97,000 will be matched by a generous group of KKFI supporters. Even though it will be doubled, please consider this a gift above and beyond what you normally give, since we will still need to keep the lights on through our regular fundraisers. KKFI.org/ampup has all the info about this project and, of course, a donate button. If you would like to commit over a couple of years or want to get involved as a larger matching donor, please call 888-931-0901 and ask for the development director. That's KKFI.org/ampup for all the info. And thank you very much for considering KKFI in your year-end giving. Next up, Counterspin, top of the hour, Taste of Tejano. Stay tuned for some good information and great music coming your way on KKFI.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, research from Harvard's Institute of Politics finds large numbers of young people worried about the state of U.S. democracy and even the possibility of civil war. Yet, U.S. corporate journalists seem to feel nothing truly new is needed beyond the same old counsel. The system basically works. The U.S. leads the world in rights and liberties, and centrism between the two dominant political parties is the wisest course, regardless of the content of their policies. The Harvard Project leader says young